Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You're listening to a talk as part of the Crime and Justice Research Series, supported by the Higher Education Academy, CSAP Network, Scottish Centre for Crime and Justice Research, and IRIS. This talk was recorded on the 2nd of June 2011. Beth Weaver is lecturer at the Glasgow School of Social Work. What the punished think of their punishment.
Okay, today I'm joined by Beth Weaver, and she's recently done some research about what the punished think about their punishment. So can you start by telling me a bit about the research and what exactly you did?
Along with a colleague of mine, Sarah Armstrong, from Glasgow University at the Scottish Centre for Crime and Justice Research, we interviewed a number of people, 35 in total, about their views of punishment. And we spoke to some people who were currently doing short prison sentences and some people who were on community service and probation. And the reason for doing this is because these short prison sentences, as we know, are the subject of much debate, but they're also one of the most frequently used sentences in Scotland. Mm. Hopefully there's a growing recognition that these aren't the most productive or appropriate sentences to use for the majority of people subject to them.
Yeah.
So there is a sort of growing move towards presuming against a short prison sentence, and the intended alternatives certainly are community-based sentences. And at the time of commencing this research, before the community payback order, the probation and community service order were those intended alternatives. So we, to do a comparative analysis, we interviewed people in prison, experiencing punishment at that time, who had also had experience of probation and community service. Yeah. And we interviewed people on community service and probation who had experienced short prison sentences.
Yeah, okay. And why do you think that it matters what those experiencing punishment think about it? Because they're not actually supposed to like it. That's not the point of it.
Well, that's true. But if we want punishment to be meaningful, I think even some governmental policy reforming and revitalising recognises that for punishment to be meaningful, payback to be meaningful, has to mean something to the person who's subject to it. And not only is that consistent with a social work value base in terms of respect for persons, but it's also consistent with current public service reform and social work services reform in relation to personalisation, understanding what matters to the people we're working with. But also because we can't really afford not to, because no matter how much we reconstruct and rebrand community penalties or punishment forms, unless the way they're experienced by the person subject to them, it's not actually going to have any different effect. It's just going to be the same experience, probably, I would imagine, but by a different name. And if we can try and take on board what offenders think about these kind of things, it can offer some valuable insights that we might not have thought about ourselves, based on their experiential realities of those punishment forms.
Okay, so what did people tell you, I suppose, firstly, about their short-term prison sentences?
Well, there was a variety of perspectives, and I think what we found most overwhelmingly was the sheer amount of issues people had in relation to drug and alcohol abuse. And this was one of the overriding features of people going into short prison sentences. And the only real positive experience that they actually managed to identify was that for some people, this was respite from the community in order to get clean, or was respite from the chaotic lives that they were living on the outside. But in the main, it was the destructive, unintended effects of a short prison sentence, which were disproportionately punishing. And by that, people mentioned the loss of significant relationships, and they mentioned loss of accommodation, employment, and it was just this catalogue of losses. And when we think about those very same factors, the presence of those factors are exactly the kinds of things that people say support them to go straight. So we can really begin to understand the sheer devastation that a short prison sentence can incur, sometimes for relatively minor offences.
Yeah.
I mean, most people we spoke to hadn't been doing for what you would call the more serious end of offences.
Sure. So overall you found that people preferred community sentences? I mean, wasn't it obvious that you were going to find that? Should we be surprised by that?
Well, actually, ranking correction or punishment suggests that most people prefer a short jail term
right
over community sentences, but they tend to measure severity of punishment. We looked at more experiential meanings, and people actually emphasise that they prefer a community sentence, and that held true for people both in the community and in prison. What surprised me particularly about that was I thought that given you can get a jail sentence over in 6 weeks and sometimes 3 years for a probation order, this could be quite a challenge. Now, they did find that actually it was more challenging to sustain compliance with a community-based sentence because of the onus on them to comply with it as opposed to the forced compliance of a prison sentence. But at the same time, they could understand the meaning behind it. It was constructive. Being able to keep your life going was of such a significant benefit that they could really see the advantage. So it related to the negative or positive effects of the sentence.
So what do you think are the implications of what you found?
Well, there's a variety of implications. Certainly the suggestions from the people themselves were really, really quite important to us because they were quite novel in some sense, but also quite obvious in another. Insofar as some people wanted actually support after the order had finished, and I would never have expected that. I thought people would want to be less involved, not more involved. And so they said that they'd like staff and peer man helpline, for example, beyond office hours, because quite often when things arise for you, or troubles arise, they don't tend to arise necessarily 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. And so the staff and the peer man aspect related to the fact they could ask somebody who maybe had experience or ask somebody who had some kind of specific knowledge. They had a choice of advice sources. There's other things like making CS more meaningful by aligning it with regeneration initiatives, aligning it with vocational qualifications, things that would actually, they can actually see a result from either for themselves or for the community. But there was also wider implications, I think, in relation to how we understand the concept of payback. And most, obviously, north and south of the border, it's different. We know that. And I think Fergus McNeil's done quite a lot of work differentiating between the two. But what we found in particular, it wasn't just about what the offender gives back or has to, or is forced to pay back or is required to pay back. It's also about what they're able to take away from the experience. And I think it's that bi-directional process that, that is what makes it more meaningful as opposed to something imposed.
Well, thank you very much, Beth. That's great.
You're welcome.
This recording is copyright of Iris 2011. It may be reused in the terms of Creative Commons licences, attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 2.5, UK Scotland licence. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.